You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
I hope you had a great weekend, everybody. It's Hour 2, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. You can get in touch with us a variety of ways. You can email, tweet, dial us up, do all the above if you like. You can watch on Peacock. You can listen on our great radio affiliates around the country. Got a poll question. I didn't even ask for an update on the results from the first hour, McLovin.
Who would you have given the Super Bowl MVP to? Still Brady, with Gronk second, then Devin White, then Shaq Barrett, then Fournette last.
Yeah, you can't give it to Todd Bowles, but I think Todd Bowles was the most important person on the field, or at least in the stadium yesterday or last night. I really believe that because he made adjustments. Here's Bruce Arians, the head coach, on Todd Bowles' role against the Chiefs.
I think he got a little tired of hearing about how unstoppable they were. I thought he came up with a fantastic plan just to keep them in front of us and tackle real well. You know, Patrick wasn't going to beat us running. We let him run all day and just keep chasing him around and see if we can make some plays.
And they put pressure on Patrick Mahomes that if you don't sack him, at least hit him. They had pressures on him. They hit him 12 times. They pressured him 24 times. And they made him run on a toe that's going to need surgery here in the offseason. This program brought to you by Peacock. Modern Family coming to Peacock. Stream every episode of the award-winning series for the first time. Don't miss out on all the laughs, tears, and favorite moments. Sign up Peacock.com and start streaming today. So they got The Office and Modern Family and, of course, The Dan Patrick Show. We were fortunate to have Rick Stroud on, the Buccaneers beat writer for the Tampa Bay Times, throughout the season. We started before the season started when Brady signed there, and Rick has been with us throughout the season, kind of the highs and lows. And I don't know where he was when that team's 7-5, and I wondered if they were going to make the playoffs. And here we are as Super Bowl champs. Rick joins us now. Rick, what were you expecting to happen last night?
You know, I got to be the pool reporter, and we're not allowed to say anything about that, what we see. But, look, this was a confident football team. And Dan, I heard you say it during the week. They had an entirely beat-up offensive line. I didn't know how the Kansas City Chiefs were going to stop that front four. And I knew that Todd Bowles was going to rush four. He was going to drop seven, right? And that math is in his favor because they only got five eligible there to keep the safeties deep. You didn't know what Patrick Mahomes was going to do. And after a while – It kind of looked like a Texas Tech spring game, you know, where he's just running around out there trying to find anybody open.
Well, and explain by as the pool reporter, like what access did you have that other reporters didn't have?
Well, they assigned one for each team, and I was the only guy that got to go, or the only reporter got to go and watch practice, and we got to watch the whole practice. And it wasn't anything different than normally during the year. I mean, we don't get to see that much. But this was a confident football team. I mean, look, if you talk to those guys on defense, they're like, wait a minute, we went into New Orleans and yeah, everybody was talking about Drew Brees after the game, but they had our number and we beat those guys down. Then we went to Green Bay and took down the most valuable player in the NFL. And when they're sitting around, they've got a bunch of young guys on defense sitting around on social media and watching television and listening to shows like yours. And they're hearing everybody come on and say that Kansas City is going to hang 37 on them. And they couldn't believe that. They felt, you know, and it's bulletin board, right? It seems simplistic, but they really did feel like nobody was giving them what they had earned, what they had done on the field, even in the postseason.
Go back to November. What kind of doubts do you think? I mean, you lost to the Saints. What was that, 38-3? You got blown out there. What kind of doubts do you think Tampa had about themselves?
Well, I mean, if you talk to them, you know, they stayed together. And that's a hard thing to do when you're in that position. I think Tom Brady said it today, you know, with this pandemic, they really couldn't get to hang out and know each other very well. This is a close-knit team that did it, you know, without being able to go to dinner or all those extra things. But it was sort of a, like, if you're a football junkie, you got into it. And that's what they did. They just went to work. I think that, you know, Bruce Arians got together with Byron Leftwich. It really started coming together at the end of the second half of the Kansas City game. The bye week really was big for them. So they never really got down. And in fact, before this game, I mean, Tom Brady texted everybody on the team and said simply, we will win. I mean, before this game. And that's a powerful message. I mean, I'm covering this guy. It's like he's the gridiron Gandhi. Like, I don't even know, like, when you're watching it, it's just amazing the impact that he has on so many players and so many guys in the administration.
Yeah, I think that that's, you know, an understated aspect of Brady, that if I'm a younger player, I look at him and I know that anything's possible, that he came back from 28-3 in the Super Bowl. That confidence level can't be understated. But I'm wondering, who was the MVP in your opinion?
Well, I mean, if you could give it to a whole defense or you could give it to Todd Bowles, you would, because and I had a vote, and not that I feel bad voting for Brady. I mean, he's won five of these. The numbers weren't very impressive other than the three touchdowns. But it was hard to pick one guy. I think Shaq Barrett had a big game. I think, Devin White certainly did. It's just that nobody stood out so much above the others. I mean, you can even make a case for Rob Gronkowski, who had a good game. But I think the defense was the story of this game, no question about it. You keep a team like that from scoring a touchdown, I mean, that's just remarkable.
Yeah, and you're trying to – like, what are the odds that you're going to get Gronk, Antonio Brown, and Leonard Fournette to all have big performances in the Super Bowl? If you would have said one is going to have a big performance, I would have said, okay. I never would have thought all three would.
Yeah, I didn't see that. I mean, Gronk has kind of been mostly a blocker of late. But that's another thing, too. And this is about trust. Not that he didn't trust the other guys. He did. I think the ball just kind of went that way with the defense. But look at who he went to in big moments. Rob Gronkowski, right? Antonio Brown, even Leonard Fournette. None of those guys were on this roster when Tom Brady got here. And that's not an accident. I mean, those guys came here because of Tom Brady. Every one of them were somebody that he lobbied for and that he felt could help their football team. And they all did in a big way in the Super Bowl.
So Brady's coming back. Arians is coming back. Gronk says he's coming back. I'm assuming Antonio Brown is going to want to come back. But you're going to lose a couple of players or the potential for losing a couple of players. What's the offseason going to look like for the Buccaneers?
Well, they're going to have to hope that some guys want to win more than they want to earn some money, because they just don't have enough for all of them. I think that, you look at Shaq Barrett, who they franchised, they need to do a long-term deal with him. If not, if you use a franchise tag on him, what about Chris Godwin? You don't want to lose that receiver. They've got some tough decisions to make. It won't be the same football team. It never is. That's why teams can't repeat. We haven't seen it since, 04, 05, or whatever the Patriots did. But there will be other guys around the NFL that see what happened here in Tampa and at various points of their career, much like Fournette was, and want to come down and be with a team that could win a Super Bowl. And so I think Brady's impact will have a lot to do with how they're able to keep this team together and whether even guys like Ndamukong Suh want to keep playing or not.
I go back, and there were some strange moments the entire year. Remember with the high school practices and surveillance cameras and Tom's trying to get guys together surreptitiously?
Hey, man, I was the one that found that practice, okay? It took me a lot of doing.
Were you hiding in the bushes, Rick? Were you hiding in the bushes?
That is urban myth. That did not happen. I was actually looking
Wait, you told me it did. You said you were hiding in the bushes.
No, it wasn't hiding. It was on a public street. I was kind of peering over. There was some vegetation involved. I'm not disputing that.
Okay.
I just had to get above it. So,
okay.
Yeah, we found it.
Well, it's been a long run. I told people, if you are of a certain age, then you know what the Buccaneers have been. Aside from the Super Bowl win, they've been the laughingstock of the NFL for a long, long, long time. And I hope these fans appreciate this for a long time. I mean, they may think you're coming back again next year, but I hope they appreciate this one for a long time, and they should.
Well, Dan, I walked out onto the field afterwards, and the confetti was still there, and I looked up, and no one had left. And then I realized they were cardboard cutouts, that it was actually just the people that were still there. But, it's Tampa Bay now. I mean, it's incredible what has happened this year with the Lightning winning the Stanley Cup and the Rays in the World Series and all of that. But I think, yeah, for the fans, this is great. I mean, 12 years without playoffs, 18 years without winning a playoff game. You get Tom Brady and you win a Super Bowl. I mean, this is really – maybe we can have nice things. Maybe Tampa Bay can have nice things.
And we almost got sued by Tom Brady for Tampa Bay T-shirts that we put out.
Yeah,
We got a cease and desist, or I think we were threatened with a cease and desist with Tom's law firm.
Have you seen the seven clothing line now? The seven? That's the next. That's the big thing. Don't put a seven on anything. He owns the number seven. Apparently, the whole number. It's like Sesame Street. You know, that's Brady's number now is seven.
I'm going to go eight. I'm going to go ahead to eight so I can bypass the seven and not worry about Tom. Hey, thank you very much for all your contributions there this year and your sense of humor. We appreciate it, Rick.
Hey, Dan, thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure, man.
That's Rick Stroud. He covers the Buccaneers for the Tampa Bay Times. Did you see where Robert Horry welcomed Tom Brady to the seven championship ring club?
That's a small meeting. That's a very small meeting room.
Yeah. Well, Bill Russell could welcome him to the seven championship ring. Is there anybody else who has... I don't know how many other Celtics won at least seven championships with Bill Russell. But Robert Horry, probably not recognized the same way Tom Brady is with his seven championships, but Robert Horry with seven championships, welcoming Tom to the club. Yes, Paul.
Dan, I think you're right. If you remove Celtics, there's nobody else. It's all like Sam Jones and Casey Jones. Havlicek, Heinsohn, et cetera. But then it's Robert Horry jumps out.
I love it. I think that's such a sneaky tweet by Robert Horry Oreo. Reggie in Washington joining us. By the way, we'll check in with the Patriots. Tom Curran will join us, and I'll have him answer the following question. Who feels worse today, Bill Belichick or Robert Kraft? Hey, Reggie.
Hey, Dan. How you doing?
Good, sir. What's on your mind?
I got a best and worst of the weekend and a couple statements for you.
All right.
First, a couple statements. LeSean McCoy, back-to-back Super Bowls on two different teams, and you had two women coaches for Tampa Bay, the first time ever,
yep.
And a woman referee on the field, first time ever. And my best and worst of the weekend is when the Tampa Bay Buccaneers was winning 28-9, I was winning $900 on an office pool. They kicked that field goal. I lost my $900 in the office pool.
All right, Reg. Sorry about that. There were a couple of big bets placed on Tampa Bay because I was starting to feel like, God, I got Tampa Bay, but it felt like everybody, I think 80% of the so-called experts in this business had picked Kansas City to win. And, you know, when you think about it, you're trying to get just enough offense to make sure that you stay close to Kansas City. And can you get a great defensive performance? And that's what I base this on. I didn't brace anything off of Brady or the offense as much as I did the defense. I thought the defense is going to win this Super Bowl for them, because the defense had been winning games in the previous month. And that was what I was going on, that they were going to somehow shut down the Kansas City Chiefs. That's not great logic going into a game like this, but that was I felt so strongly about this defense, that they had impact players. Todd Bowles did a great job. He made adjustments. And sometimes when you win, you don't make adjustments. You let somebody else make adjustments to see if they can counter you. And the game of chess was clearly won by Tampa Bay and Todd Bowles, their defensive coordinator. Yeah, Paul.
I don't know Devin White, the middle linebacker for the Bucs. I don't know his actual height and weight, but he looks way too big to be moving that fast. Doesn't he look way larger than the normal middle linebacker and faster than anybody?
Well, he's about 6 feet.
He's only 6 feet. Maybe he's just wider.
I think he's wide, but he is very, very fast. He's 22 years of age. And I had a scout say, you know, I know you love Devin White, but he's out of position a lot. And, you know, the previous weeks that teams were taking advantage of him. And he said, you know, that he gets out of position because he's so young. He didn't look out of position last night. You know, but that was a wonderful performance by the defense there. Let's see. Kyle in Tampa. Hi, Kyle. Congratulations. What's on your mind today?
It is a great day in Tampa Bay.
I like it.
When I called back in April and asked how many pints of Gronky Grog were going to be brewed up here in Tampa, I can personally tell you the answer is a lot. Best and worst of the weekend. The worst has got to be the officiating, not because it affected the game, but because now it's part of the conversation and it's taking some of the attention away from the amazing team effort. Best is finally seeing that team come together. You know, I was watching a news conference with BA Coach Arians this morning, and he said, you know, that first game of the season against New Orleans, Tom would run off the sidelines for their drive and go, "What's this word mean? Where's this play? Where's this guy going?" So, you know, it was nice to see that come together. And lastly, Paulie and Seton, I want you to take that money you won last night on Gronk hitting his touchdown prop, and I want you to put it all on the Bucks at plus 1,200 for next year.
All right. Who's more likely, thanks for the phone call, Kyle, who's more likely to get back next year, Kansas City Chiefs or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Hot.
Yes, McLeod.
Can I switch up the poll? That's a great question.
Okay, how's that? I would say Kansas City. I think everything happened at the right time for Tampa Bay. But if I'm going to be banking on Gronk, Antonio Brown, and Leonard Fournette to be able to do that. Now, look, Tom has been a great GM. Brady should get votes for, you know, GM of the year. Because he brought in, he recruited Gronk, welcomed Leonard Fournette, and he worked hard to bring Antonio Brown in there as well. They shored up the offensive line. Because that to me was the defense at the end of the previous year with Jameis Winston. If Jameis Winston goes 30 touchdowns, 10 picks, then Tampa is a legitimate team to deal with and a playoff team. It wasn't much that they needed, in my opinion. It was just Jameis gave up too much. You know, he gave up, you know, fumbles and interceptions. That defense at the end of the year was really good. And Tom came in, they shored up the offensive line, and then he brought in a couple of players. You would have thought if you had Brate, and you had Jones, you had Godwin, and you had Mike Evans, like that would be Christmas morning for Brady. And then Brady realized, when I really need something to happen, I need to have that security blanket. And that guy's Gronk. Gronk blocked all year. And from somebody who has covered the Buccaneers, he said, you know, Gronk never, ever complained about not getting the ball. Never. Not once. He understood his role was to block, but when they needed him to do something, he did. He had 45 catches this year. But when they needed him, when Tom needed him, he was there. Which says something about Gronk, because he's lacking some mobility there. But he has this, you know, to understand what I need to do and when I need to do it. And he did that last night. Yeah, Paul.
Gronk also played and started in all 16 games. He hasn't done that since he was 22 years old.
Brandon in Texas. Then we'll take a break and check in with the Patriots side of this outcome. Hey, Brandon.
Hey, what's going on, DP?
What's on your mind today, Brandon?
Well, I got a best and worst of the weekend, me being a Buffalo Bills fan. You know, I would say the worst is Tom winning it, and the best would be Pat Mahomes losing it. You know, that's just me. But what is your take on this, Dan? I believe Tom Brady has that Benjamin Button's disease. He is getting better the older he gets. What is your take on that?
Well, I don't think he's getting better as a quarterback. He looks younger, but I don't think he's better as a quarterback. He's just smarter. And that's what happens. You use that experience to your benefit. The key is when you get to a point where you know you can't do certain things, that you rely on experience to help you. He's not the same quarterback that he once was. But he does have he has those moments where he knows what to do and what not to do. And that's experience. And he still has the arm strength. Whereas Phillip Rivers doesn't, Ben Roethlisberger doesn't, Drew Brees doesn't. And at that age, that's the first thing to go. You know, you might say mobility. He's never had mobility. But he gets the ball away so quickly, and he's so subtle in the pocket of avoiding the rush. But you can't lose speed if you never had it. Tom Curran will join us. We'll ask him the snarky poll question, who feels worse today, Bill Belichick or Robert Kraft? That's next here on the Dan Patrick Show. Oh, what do we have here? We have Callaway. I'm going to sneeze.
Three, two, one, sneeze.
All righty. And Callaway is nothing to sneeze about. Those Callaway irons are unbelievable.
That was well done.
Thank you, Todd. Thank you.
Save that.
And the Epic driver. The Epic Speed driver. I haven't gotten this yet. I got my new irons. I'm waiting for the Epic Speed driver to work on the simulator here. Give that simulator a little work and over. Jailbreak speed frame. That's what's different here. Reduces the amount that the driver head twists and deforms when you hit the ball. And that means there's more energy that stays on the driver face and transfers to the golf ball. That means you're going to hit the ball further. For most players, Epic Speed is good for you. Epic Max, additional forgiveness. And for the better player, it's Epic Max LS, capitalizing on the tour preferred combination of low spin plus high stability. Callaway, not just building drivers, they're framing the future of speed. Check out the Epic family of drivers at CallawayGolf.com/epic. That's CallawayGolf.com/epic. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Last night's game was the 54th of Patrick Mahomes' career, if you include the playoffs, and it might have been his worst. Fewest team points in his start. First time losing by more than 8 points. Broke a streak of 30 consecutive games with at least one touchdown pass. Career passer rating, a career low of 52.3. Career high, 23 incompletions. Give a lot of credit to that Tampa defense. Let's bring in Tom Curran. He's a Patriots insider, NBC Sports Boston. Let me start with the snarky poll question. Who feels worse today, Bill Belichick or Robert Kraft?
Bill Belichick. And he should. He's the one who didn't know what he was looking at over the last 5 years. And the guy was standing right in front of him. So now he's mining the draft and mid-tier free agents to find a replacement that'll pay more than he was willing to pay the guy who won the Super Bowl. Kraft, at least, Dan said, we'd really like to have him stay.
But I was wondering about that he, and maybe this is credit to Robert Kraft, that he allows his coaches to coach, or, you know, he gets out of the way. Mm-hmm. But at some point, it's your team. That he never thought of bigfooting Bill Belichick to say, I can't let Tom Brady play in another uniform.
And I think that Bill convinced him that the trepidation of a guy at 43 years old, Robert, what are we going to do? We're going to pay him this much money. And if he starts to go over the cliff, then what? And Robert had to look at it and say, look, who's easier to replace? The quarterback that I think Bill can do because I saw him do it in 2008 with Matt Cassel. Or replace Bill and his scouting staff and his coaching and the special teams acumen and everything else. The easier thing to do is say goodbye to the 43-year-old as much as it tears my heart out.
If I would have told you 11 months ago this was going to be the result, what would you have said?
It wouldn't shock me. I mean, at the beginning of the year, I said that Tampa would win the Super Bowl. They would go 13-3 and win the Super Bowl. And it's because of how good Tampa kind of was.
Yeah.
I mean, they were 7-9 last year. Their quarterback threw 30 picks. They lost 6 games, I think it was, by a touchdown or less. Just bring somebody in with a level of competency, and you're going to be good. Bring the best there's ever been who can infuse discipline into everybody. You're going to be really friggin' good. So I wouldn't have been surprised, Dan.
You know, the last 2 weeks, Brady has taken the high road when it comes to Bill Belichick. Like, verbal bouquets and, like, what do you think he really feels about how this ended, his relationship with Belichick, because he said what you would want him to say, so he didn't draw any more attention to this, you know, fractured relationship.
I think he imagines now or feels now that this is for the best, and he's not looking back. And for us who are continuing to chase the car like a bunch of dogs, we're nipping at the bumper. He's just driving along. He doesn't even know we're back there. I mean, he has moved on. And I think it's one of those things. There is a whole different world out here that I can enjoy and do things differently in. I think it was painful as hell for him, but Bill kind of made it easy to divorce himself from New England by allowing him to picture himself someplace else. You know, I'm telling a story in the column I'm writing about how I sat with Guerrero, Alex Guerrero, last year, 2 days before the Super Bowl. We were flying out of Miami, and I was looking back at some of the notes I took, and what Guerrero had said at that time, January 31st, 2020, all he wants is the coach to signal that he wants him to stay. That's all he wanted.
But he never got that.
And never
then,
did.
Yeah. If you look at the accomplishments for Brady, where does last night rank?
To me, Dan, it's a validation. It's, you know, I think 28-3 is greater. I think that the Super Bowl in 2014 was more high level football. But I think this is a validation. He is now the greatest team sports performer in pro sports history. He's not the greatest athlete. I don't even know if he's the greatest football player of all time, because you still have Jerry Rice sitting out there with some absurd numbers. But he trumps Jordan and Russell and Gretzky as the greatest team sports performer, able to go into a 53-man roster, an 80-man team with coaches, and infuse it. It's not basketball like LeBron and Jordan. It's one guy impacting almost 100 people.
And what I've said all morning long is that there is, if you're a young player, you just look at him. He's the most animated. He's, you know, in people's faces, whether it's the opponents or you. There's accountability. You know, it's what you want in a leader. You know, he doesn't play at a high level the way he once did. But that confidence level, I don't think can be understated, certainly for a team that was probably impressionable like Tampa was, that they were looking for something. They were looking that if things go bad, he's not letting us go, you know, south. And I you know, there's something to be said about that and his ability to lead.
You know, I wonder what those days were like after he had the four fingers up and confused the downs. I mean, that's, if Jameis Winston does that, or Nick Foles, or whoever, I mean, the whole team probably is like, oh my God. And there were probably guys looking at Brady and go, this guy's, I mean, come on, he's screaming at us and he can't get the downs right.
Yeah.
But whatever it is that he does to infuse that team with, don't worry about it, I got it. It's amazing. And you talk about the performance. It is the same as it's always been, Dan. It's whatever you need. If you need 505 against Philadelphia to give you a shot, he'll do that. If you need what he brings to get 28-3, he'll do that. If it's 5-for-9 for 60 yards in the second half last night, fine. That's fine, too.
You created some headlines saying that Matthew Stafford did not want to go to New England. Recap that story, and was there any fallout after that report?
I was told Sunday, hours after Stafford had agreed to go to Los Angeles, that a team in negotiations with Detroit was told that Stafford was willing to really go anywhere but New England. He had said, I don't want to go to New England. So that was noteworthy, the person thought, who had been in negotiations, to share with me. The fallout, I think, was interesting because, to me, it legitimized what we look at the Patriots post-Brady as being. It's a team in rebuild mode, and it's a team that's not a lot of fun to play for. It's a team that talks about no days off. When you're 33, you want some days off. I mean, that's not a picnic. To come up into the Northeast, you're Matthew Stafford, you've been playing inside, you're 33 years old, you haven't won anything, and you're going to go rebuild in the cold and play in Buffalo and the Meadowlands, whatever it is. That doesn't sound like a good time, and that's why I think it's hard for the Patriots to, you know, say we are who we were when Brady was here.
Also, you have the Gronk situation, that he chose retirement over possibly playing again, I guess, with the Patriots if they wanted him back. Just the fact that he could have fun, that freeing feeling, I guess. Does that surprise you, though, that Gronk wanted to come back, but only wanted to come back if he's going to have fun and play with Brady?
No, because in 2018, before they won their final Super Bowl, the Patriots were trying to trade Gronk to Detroit. I mean, that was damaging to him. And then they spent that whole season. I mean, he was mentally racked by uncertainty about whether he could play, where his body was at. And, you know, as he explained to me at the Super Bowl, you're doing things to your body that are unnatural, and they keep asking you every week to go out and practice all week and do it again on Sunday. I mean, he wanted to be managed at that point. He felt his body was so beat up that he wanted to have himself managed in a different way, and the Patriots were not, you know, acceding to that. And that's where Bill is. Everybody's on the same level. Everybody's on the same plane. No special favors, especially for guys who are making $15 million or $12 million. But there comes a point where the point you're trying to make is going to lose some people.
I also wondered about this, and that is, if I'm New England, if I'm Bill Belichick, how do I, not that he's competing with Tom Brady, but if I want to re-energize this franchise, can they go all in and get Deshaun Watson?
I think Deshaun Watson is going to be of the same mind that Matthew Stafford was. And that is, I don't want to go. And honestly, too, Dan, think about this. In this age of players who are making so much money, especially in the NFL, and finding their voices in a way that they haven't previously, clearly Deshaun Watson is most pissed off because they didn't get a seat at the table to converse. There's not a seat at the table. You're not even in the room in New England. So he's not going to want to come up here and just, you know, be a workaday guy hitting the punching his time clock every day and coming in and leaving. He wants to be in there. And Belichick's going to, who?
But no. Brady never had any input on personnel decisions in New England at all.
Nope. No one does. The personnel guys barely do.
And then here he is. He should get GM votes. GM of the year with what he did in Tampa, that you get in. He recruits Antonio Brown, somehow gets him. Leonard Fournette comes in and Gronk comes in, and all three score touchdowns last night.
I mean, it's wild. It really is to see, you know, that performance. And it's funny because throughout these playoffs, Dan, I think there's been this pushback that Brady is carrying the Buccaneers. It's Tom Brady. And he just did what was necessary. He staked the team to a lead against the Packers, played fine. You know, the picks in the second half, people took that as a smoking gun that he's not very good. You know, same thing with New Orleans. It was the way they undressed Drew Brees. It wasn't Brady. And I think it was a straw man argument. No one was saying that Tom Brady was out there putting up triple doubles. He was just playing the game as it needed to be played in the postseason, which is kind of what he's always done.
Do you think Belichick watched the game last night?
Boy. That's a great question. I would imagine he probably did. I would imagine he probably did.
When do you see Belichick again? When's the media get in front of Belichick to ask that question?
Yeah, normally it would be at the owners' meetings at the end of March, but I would see that the chance of that happening are very slim. So probably not until a pre-draft audience that he gives us, because I can't imagine he's going to ring us up and see how we're all doing. I just don't see that coming down the line.
Will you ask that question if given the opportunity?
Would you send me a coffee if I did?
Yes.
Done.
All right. That's easy.
It's an extra large hot coconut with milk and three Splenda.
Oh, three Splenda. Okay. Uh-huh. All right. Yeah. All right. I'll take care of that. It might be a little cold by the time it gets to you, but it will get to you.
Fair enough.
But thank you, Tom. Good to talk to you, buddy.
All right. Enjoy the rest of your year.
That's Tom E. Curran, Patriots insider for NBC Sports Boston, who joins us on the program. I thought Kevin Harlan had a nice performance last night. Kevin Harlan was doing the radio call, and you had the streaker there. Can you be a streaker if you're not naked?
It's embarrassing.
Aren't you naked if you're a streaker? If not, you're just a trespasser.
See what you did there, by the way. Embarrassing.
Yeah.
Embarrassing.
Here is Kevin Harlan with the call last night.
5:03 to go. Someone has run on the field. Some guy with a bra. And now he's not being chased. He's running down the middle of the 40. Arms in the air and a victory salute. He's pulling down his pants. Put up your pants, my man. Pull up those pants. He's being chased to the 30. He breaks a tackle from a security guard. The 20, down the middle, the 10, the 5. He slides at the 1, and they converge on him at the goal line. Pull up your pants. Take off the bra and be a man. And the players with hands on hips at the other end of the field are looking at him and shaking their head and saying, why, oh, why is this taking place in a Super Bowl?
There's a man on the field and he's got a bra on. And you don't hear that too often. Pull up your pants and take off that bra and be a man. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you. Jeff in Detroit, then we'll take a break, and we'll come back. We'll talk about why Tyrann Mathieu is all upset about Tom Brady and what he was saying to him on the field last night. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, what up, though? One time for the chat room. I'm going to tell you, my football belly is full. I do not feel like I've been cheated. We barely made it through this season with everything that's going on. And it culminated in a really, really, really wonderful Super Bowl. I'm going to tell you like this, Dan. Rob Gronkowski must have been listening to you because I asked you a couple of weeks ago, what does Gronk get Brady? You said a couple of touchdowns. Man, he must have been listening to you because he was out there balling, my brother. Also, Calvin Johnson, I guess there's no need to us to question it anymore. Nope. Calvin Johnson, first ballot Hall of Famer. We're going to be talking about Detroit again this week, man. I don't know how to act, brother. I do not know how to act. Have a good one.
Thank you, Jeff. Yeah, congrats to all the players who got into the Hall of Fame. You know, Peyton, obviously, Charles Woodson. You got Megatron in there. John Lynch got in. I don't know if my guy Tony Boselli is going to get in, but I don't know. I hope he gets that. I hope he gets a couple of more opportunities there. But, you know, it's just it's difficult to get in. It should be difficult to get in. But, you know, I always hold out hope that Tony Boselli, Drew Pearson got in as well, the original 88. Yeah, Paul.
You know, don't certain players get credit for leaving early due to injury? I know it's a different sport, like Kirby Puckett. I think he was his career was cut short due to injury, the great baseball player. Boselli was going to be – he was cruising. He was going to be a couple more Pro Bowls, at least all pros.
Well, you can't put in Terrell Davis for an abbreviated career interrupted by injuries and not put in Tony Boselli because they are very similar. And, you know, Tony Boselli was the best at, you know, left tackle in the NFL. The number of all pros that he was – I think the resume is similar. Now, he wasn't an MVP as Terrell Davis was. And Terrell, and I campaigned for Terrell Davis. I thought he was a Hall of Famer. And I think Tony Boselli is as well. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. Tyrann Mathieu, very upset with Tom Brady and didn't know that there was this side to Tom Brady. Tyrann didn't do his scouting report. Back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. Make sure you sign up for the DP Show newsletter. Recaps everything we did on the show. Comes out at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific. Goes right to your email. Go to danpatrick.com. Enter your email address in the box that slides out. And Mario will make sure that it ends up in your email. Best and worst of the weekend. Let's go around the room. I'll start with you, Todd. Best and worst of the weekend.
Best is Missouri senior guard Drew Smith. 16 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, sadly. Helps the number 18 Tigers upset number 10 Alabama, 68-65.
Wait.
I didn't want to do obvious Super Bowl stuff, so I wanted to...
Well done. You didn't do anything obvious, but that's the best... Like if I said, wow, the best thing this weekend.
Well, I had little hot dogs and little mini pizza bagels with my with Super Bowl watching. That would be pretty good. I didn't think the Super Bowl was anything great, so I went with an upset in the college basketball.
Okay. How about your worst?
My worst, also on Saturday, for some reason, number 5 Houston hosted a team from the NAIA called Our Lady of the Lakes out of San Antonio. The Cougars were 47.5-point favorites over those pesky Saints, easily covered, winning by 66, 112-46. Our Lady of the Lakes.
Who are you?
Have you guys ever heard of Our Lady of the Lakes Saints out of Minneapolis? What is that? And why are they playing number 5 right Houston?
Paulie, best and worst of the weekend.
Tom Brady won the Super Bowl, Dan. That's my best of the weekend. I don't know if you saw it. I can roll the tape. My other best of the weekend is Nikola Jokic for the Nuggets. He had 50 points, 20 of 33 from the field, and 12 assists.
Yeah.
50 and 10 seems like a pretty rare category. I bet that's where you have 50 points and 10-plus assists. That's got to be a small list.
I don't even know if it was the best performance of the weekend because you had Steph Curry and Luka Doncic who went back and forth. And I thought Steph was going to be the MVP this year when the season started with Klay Thompson. I thought Steph Curry was going to be the MVP. It's not going to happen. But I think he's playing as well as he's played in quite some time. But Golden State is not going to be, you know, vying for a championship. McLovin, best and worst of the weekend.
I was going to go Steph Curry. The logo shot is back. Oh, I love they showed him practicing it before the game. He had 6 in a row and then hit it from the Mavericks logo. Unbelievable. My worst is, and I'm sorry, I'm being a little like Fritzy here, is college basketball.
I've tried to be on the Iowa Hawkeyes bandwagon because we have a lot of Iowa Hawkeyes fans, and I watched this whole piece on Luka Garza. Then they lose to Indiana yesterday. Is that a good bandwagon? I need a college basketball bandwagon other than Villanova, and I'm struggling, Dan.
I would stay on the Iowa bandwagon. I would stay on Luka's bandwagon.
I saw this feature on him. He wears earrings, which I don't know what to make about. He wears diamond stud earrings off the court.
Mm. Oh, off the court.
Off the court. On the court, it'd be dangerous. But he's also slow, by the way.
See, if you're old enough to remember Jeff Rulin, that he's like Jeff Rulin. Seton O'Connor, best and worst of the weekend.
My best of the weekend was finally figuring out why Andy Reid's mask looks so weird. It's really been bothering me all season where I'm like, what's the story with his mask? Why is it all like sort of bunchy like that, right?
Bunchy.
And so it's kind of like puffed out. It just looks very odd. And like, what's the story with his mask? Can he get a normal one? He does have a normal mask, but most people wear them, right, where these little rings go around your ears.
Yeah.
Instead, Andy Reid flips it upside down and wears these things that go around your ears around his whole head, and that's what makes it look all sort of bunched up. And when I saw that last night, I was like, that's what it is. Got it. And I was so happy that I finally figured that out. Irrationally happy.
So that's your takeaway from the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, that, and then my other even more bester is Tyrann Mathieu and Tom Brady getting heated.
Oh, that
is so much fun.
Here is the Honey Badger talking about the back and forth with Tom Brady last night.
You know, it's football. Guys are going to, go back and forth. I think really, it was about three possessions there, well, at least 21 points, 24 points that those guys scored. They all came after penalties, right? Like third down penalties, first down penalties, us giving those guys another chance to extend their downs. And anytime you do that against any good football team or any good quarterback, they're going to make you pay for it.
He talked about in another clip where he was surprised that Brady was, he didn't see that side or never saw that side of Tom Brady before. I'm shocked that Honey Badger had no idea that Tom Brady can be cocky, swag, get in your face. He's done that quite a few times in his career. I don't know what he said to Honey Badger because he said that, I can't say what he said to me. And then he deleted the tweet about Tom Brady. I mean, that's who Brady is. Brady's usually the most demonstrative player on his own team and got in Honey Badger's face. And then Honey Badger pointed a finger into Tom's face and then they gave him a penalty, which I wouldn't have thrown a flag on that. But yeah, I thought, all right, going back and forth, that's who Brady is. Yeah, Paul.
Tom does this great thing when he gets in someone's face who could beat him up. He kind of gets in their face, and then he kind of skips away in this motion where he's not really getting shoulder to shoulder.
Well, no, he ran after Honey Badger
right, at the
end of the first half.
He goes in, and then he bails out.
No, Honey Badger was the one walking away, and Tom ran up to him at the end of the first half. Yes, Fritzy.
But how do you let yourself get so unhinged like that? He was like out of his mind. Whatever Brady said or didn't say.
You did that with onion bagels.
I did. But this is the Super Bowl. It totally threw him off his
game. It's a Super Bowl.
On the Super Bowl, you have a reason to get
that
crazy.
Onion bagels.
I don't think you fully understand how much I appreciate the onion bagel.
Well, the onion bagel was your Super Bowl, basically.
That's what it was.
Yes, it was. All right. 2 hours in the books on this Monday. More phone calls coming up. Seton Pauly, Fritzy McLovin, yours truly here on the Dan Patrick Show.